Hallelujah. Are you happy this morning? Are you ready this morning? Are you excited this morning? Man, ain't God good? I got good news this morning. Jesus is in the building. He's in this building, and he's in this building right here. Oh, he was here before you got here, which means he is eager to meet you where you are this morning. Did you come hungry? Man, you'll leave full, but hungry for more. Yo, I'm not just saying that, but Jesus is so excited and eager to meet with us this morning. He just is. You didn't show up for nothing this morning. There's no such thing as an ordinary Sunday morning where we have an extraordinary Father. I promise he was here before you got here. And you know, it's so amazing because he wants, man, this is a Jesus, like he went to the cross for a reason. Like he wants to answer us, to pour into us, to pour out of us, to meet with us. And all we have to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. What if it was that simple? Oh, Jesus, I want more of you. Boom, here you go. Listen, you can have as much of him as you want. He has fully made all of himself available. I promise. That's why he went to the cross. He was going, here am I. You can have all of me. And when we take all of him, all of us gets fulfilled and satisfied like never before. You can have as much of him as you want, man. Oh, I have him. And I feel him right here. And I feel him all around me. He's an amazing Savior. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Man, we had an awesome Thanksgiving, man, with just family. It was just beautiful. And this is kind of where I want to start this morning. I actually want to talk about thankfulness today. And I'll begin with it. We'll wake up with thankfulness, and then we'll go to bed with thankfulness. I'll open up with some thankfulness, and then we'll close with thankfulness. And there's something kind of in between that I feel like God wants to specifically address, man, for us as believers. But I just want to tell you something this morning. Man, there's so much to be thankful for this year. And I know what some of you might be thinking. Especially if somebody were to hear me say that there's so much to be thankful for outside of this family, you might be thinking, Wes, are you alive this year? Are you living in the same year that I'm living in? Yes, I am. Fully awake, fully alive. If you have the same Father that I have and the same Savior living in you that lives inside of me, and you have the same Spirit and power, there is more than enough to be thankful for this year. He's on the throne. My Bible says in Luke 1:33 that the kingdom of God has no end. Listen, if you've asked yourself this question this year, man, like, God, where have you been this year? And you've stopped pursuing him because, like, you don't know where he's been. That's not a God problem. That's a you problem. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. I'm just bringing the truth. If you have a hard time finding something to be thankful for, you're ready to blow past Christmas and move on into 2021 to see what's going to happen next, there's a good chance you've allowed the circumstances of our world to have a bigger influence and a louder voice than the reality of the kingdom we live in and the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. There is power in the cross. If you can't find something to be thankful for the cross. I was just thinking about that, man. Just a week or so ago. And I was just like going, like looking back over this year. I just began to thank God for things. And there was something that I kept coming back to, and something that kept being highlighted to me, right? And the Holy Spirit just kept showing me this. And this is not only true for 2020, this has become true every day of my life. Something that I'm experiencing, I'm so thankful for, and I'm experiencing on a daily basis, freedom. Like real, like freedom in Jesus, like freedom through the blood of Jesus Christ. Y'all, I'm in it. Like I'm really free. Like, I'm like that John 8:36. If the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that we've been set free. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit is in us, and He's helping us. He's guiding us. He's counseling us. He's advocating for us. He's comforting us. He's empowering us, not into a counterfeit freedom, but the real freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. Yo, I'm there. You listen, man. I've discovered this more than I ever have, and it's something that I've known. I'm actually receiving it. Like, I'm free from me, so I can be all about Him. Like, I'm free from Westwinger, so I can be all about my blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like, I'm like that free, and I've discovered, like as I'm all about Him, like, He's actually all about me. Do you see how that works? I'm all about Him, and He's actually all about me, because everything that He said and everything that He did and everything that He accomplished on the cross was on my behalf, was for Wes. That's crazy. He gave up everything. He gave up His life so that we could have one. Did you know that you were the joy that was set before Him? Like He got so excited about you experiencing real freedom that He gladly hung on the cross for you and I. That's what that scripture means. I've probably shared this here before, probably several times. I read that scripture in Hebrews one time. Man, we were the joy set before Jesus. He said, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? And I went into a vision. It was so powerful. And the vision was, you know, Jesus carried the cross up the hill. And in this particular vision, He had the cross on His back, and He wasn't walking slowly. He was running. He was like sprinting up the hill, and the Roman guards were trying to catch up with Him. And He was like, get out of my way. And everybody was parting away, and He was running up this hill, and the wind was blowing in His hair, and He was smiling, and the blood was rushing down His cheeks from the crown of thorns, and He was smiling. And He got up to the top of the hill, and He slammed the cross down, and He climbed up on there, and He said, let's do this. That's my King. That's the joy. I'm not saying that's how it happened. That was a vision I had through that scripture. That was the joy that was set before Him, that He gladly endured the horror of the cross, man. If you can't find something to be thankful for the cross. I'm free from me to be all about Him, and I'm also free from you. Because I'm free from me and all about Him, I'm also free from being hurt and offended or bothered by anything for the rest of my life. That's some freedom right there. And it's working. My wife lives with me. You can ask. I'm never hurt or offended or bothered by anything. Like, it doesn't matter. Listen, I am full of God's grace, which means I'm rich in mercy, which means I can afford when somebody says something or does something to me that's not right or wrong. It's okay. I get to have a grace and meet them right where they are. The same way that the Father has a grace to meet me where I am. And I don't have to be a part of the problem. I get to be a solution to the problem, because love is free, has no strings attached. It is unconditional. I get to meet you right where you are and empower you and love you towards the heart of the Father, because I'm free from Wes Springer, and I'm all about Jesus, which means I'm free from you. Isn't that fun? That's like a life right there. I'm free. Watch, y'all. I'm free from Him. I'm all about Him. I'm free from you. I'm also free from my sins and mistakes of the past. And I've made some, but I'm free from them, because Psalms 103:12 says He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Psalms 32:2 says He forgives your sins and remembers them no more. It says that He has no recollection of the mistake that you made. Isn't that amazing? You make a mistake, you can say, Jesus, thank you, forgive me. I receive what your blood paid for me to have. And you keep on running with Jesus. No looking back, but pressing on towards the goal. Because we get to be forgiven. Our sins get to be forgotten. Some of you are going to bust out of that door this morning in real freedom over something you've been dwelling on for 5 years or 6 years or 8 years, and it is done, because God's grace is that amazing. The blood of Jesus is that powerful, because you're free from you and all the mistakes and messes that you made. Jesus, man, grace stands on the top of it and says, you'll never measure up to me. We have an amazing Father. Did you know that not only are we free from us and all about him, we're free from each other and we're free from our sins and mistakes in the past. Oh, we're also free to never ever sin again for the rest of our life. Ever. Oh, it's quiet now. Because I'm not about me and I'm all about him and he lives in me and he's perfect, that means I get to walk like he walks. Like greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says that we've been given everything we need to live a godly life. And the Bible says that we have the Spirit and power, which means the area of your life that you feel weak in, the Spirit makes up for it by being strong. So you're not actually weak in that area. You're actually strong in that area because you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, setting you up to win and become victorious. Because Jesus' victory is your victory because he didn't go to the cross for himself. He went for you. He was the most unselfish, selfless man to ever walk the planet. Everything he did, everything he said, and everything accomplished was for you and me. So when we're all about him, he's actually all about us. That is crazy. You want to live a free life? You find it in Jesus Christ. Can I say something this morning? And you don't hear this much in church. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say this in church. I've actually heard the opposite. So I'm a little nervous to say this. But I know that the fivefold team is here just covering me. We have the best team in the world. So I know they have my back. Listen, it's okay if I say this. Man, I don't make as many mistakes as I used to. It's all right to say? Like I promise, like, sin in my life is few and far between these days. I'm not saying I don't mess up, and I'm so thankful for God's grace there to catch me, but God's grace is not our crutch. It's not our backup plan. It's his plan to empower you and I to live a righteous life. So can I say this morning, I don't make as many mistakes as I used to make. Like, because I'm not focused on trying not to sin. I'm focused on the one who's forgiven me from all of my sins. And I'm running with reckless abandonment with Jesus Christ. Because I believe that he paid a price for me to have the best. Why would I ever settle for anything less? Why would I? Y'all, listen, I've been having conversations with people about this, y'all. I'm at a point in my life, and I've been there for a while, but it's like really there now. Anything apart from God just looks distasteful. It just looks so, it sours on my stomach to think about doing anything apart from God. Like, I can't even think about it because I know that he's so good. And I know that what Jesus paid a price for me to have is so powerful and so amazing. And I believe it, and I'm experiencing it. Listen, the blood of Jesus works. Can I say that I don't make as many mistakes as I used to? We usually hear the opposite. We got ministers and leaders saying, man, I'm just such a sinner. I just make mistakes all the time. Man, I'm going to make mistakes tomorrow. Yeah, you are, if that's what you anticipate. You'll set yourself up to receive it. It's like, man, I don't know if it's this false humility or whatever it is, but to me, it's a disgrace to the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody got to stand up and say, the blood is working. The blood of Jesus works. It forgives and it empowers me to truly live so that I'm not all about me and I'm all about him. When I'm all about him, I'm running with him and I experience real freedom. If you can't find something to be thankful for the cross. Woo! There's so much to be thankful for. I'm going to make a thankful sandwich this morning. We're starting with thankfulness. We're going to end with thankfulness. And in the middle, we're going to address something specific. You know, this year, the enemy has done everything that he can. And I just want you to know, first and foremost, before I even say this, it's over. Devil, in the words of Miss Yvonne Rudolph, I wish she was here this morning. Devil, you are done. Extra crispy. He has done everything he can this year to try and divide and conquer us. But I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I just want you to know that he's already been conquered. The victory has already been won. The deed has been done. The price has been paid. The foundation's been laid. It's over. Jesus will have the final say so. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. God is so good. He's moving right now in this time. And listen, this is what we get to do. Jesus is the answer, which is ultimately means you and I are the answer because the answer lives in us. We get to partner with him to release his heart and his solution on the earth. Jeremy said it last week. Melanie said it the week before. Listen, when Donald Trump gets reelected, listen, he is still not the savior of the world. There's only one savior, and I believe with all my heart, and I see it with my eyes, God's using Donald J. Trump. It's beautiful to watch. I don't even know if he realizes it or sees everything in the ways that God's using it, but he is. It's amazing, but he is not the answer. Jeremy said it last week. Says, listen, this is bigger than an election. This is bigger than Donald Trump, man. Things are being shook right now on the planet. What the enemy has intended for harm, God is using for his glory. Light is penetrating darkness, man. Things are surfacing that have never been surfaced before. The body of Christ is becoming awake right now. And we're seeing a harvest that's plentiful. Our hearts are beginning to break for the same things that the Father's heart breaks for. And it's people. People that are tired of being tired. People that are tired of religion looking for relationship. People who are longing for Jesus Christ. Right? And we get to give them what they're looking for. We get to, out of the overflow of our heart, man, we speak and the result is salvation to the nations. Fish jumping in the boat. People being awakened, man. This is what I've been looking for my whole life. You just ask. I'm serious, y'all. It's available. Some people are going, man, Wes, like, man, I hadn't seen God move much this year. Then you haven't been moving. When we step out and move, we become a vessel that he moves through. He's already moving. He's waiting on you. He is moving all over the planet, man. I could share so many testimonies right now, man. I'll do one. Over Thanksgiving, Caroline and I had to go to Wells Fargo Bank, had to do a transaction. I don't like going through the drive-thru. I like going in so I can love on the people that are inside the building. I go in. This lady, I walk up to her, and I said, hey, we're from Birmingham, visiting our parents from out of town here in Atlanta. I said, I need to make this transaction. She goes, I know who you are. I said, oh, you do? She goes, yeah, you were here about this time last year, and you prayed over me, and you said that God was really, really good. I said, I sure did. I'm sorry, I don't necessarily remember you. I pray for a lot of people. I said, but can I pray for you today? And she starts crying behind the desk. And she goes, will you pray for my self-esteem? I said, yes, ma'am. And I grabbed her hand. I just began to pray, and God began to give me prophetic words for her. I just began to speak life over her, and she bent over, man, just crying and weeping. Man, I just stayed there for her for a long time, just loving on her, speaking life over her, man. I went back to the car, and Caroline said, you've been praying for somebody, hadn't you? I've been waiting on you a long time. It's a true story. You ask my wife. I promise, man. You listen. We're done with this waiting on God thing. We're done with this praying for revival thing. You are revival. God ain't dead. He's surely alive, living on the inside, roaring like a lion. It is time. The harvest is plentiful. It's time to run with Jesus. No looking back. Don't let any sin or anything distract you or entangle you. Get rid of it. Get rid of it and run with him and live a life of real freedom. I promise. My whole point in sharing all that is that when we partner with Jesus to speak life, to release his kingdom, to release his heart, it simultaneously begins to undo anything and everything that the enemy has done and wants to do without having to pay attention to the enemy for a moment. Do you understand that? We're not supposed to be devil focused. Right now, we're so filled with worry and anxiousness about what the enemy's doing, what he's saying, and what he wants to do that we're missing out on what God's saying, what he wants to do, and what's already been done. This is important, y'all. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil without chasing the devil. He destroyed the works of the devil by loving on people, releasing his kingdom come and the power that comes with it to change, to heal, to save, and to set free. This is us. Hey, we in a war, but the war's already over. You understand what I'm saying? We're in a battle, but the battle's already been won. You understand what I'm saying? We're fighting from a place of victory. There's so much to be thankful for, man. I don't know about you, but I just feel like 2021, we're just going to wear the devil out. Extra crispy. And watch the goodness of God cover our city and this world like the waters cover the sea. If you can't find anything to be thankful for the cross. We're still working on this thankful sandwich. We're still at the beginning part of it. I got time. Look, one of the things that God's been showing me is that thankfulness, it's more than just, God, thank you for all that you've done and all that you've given me and my family and my home and my cars and my job and my friends and even my church family. Like, those things are given. If we can't be thankful for those things, we need to have another conversation. God's actually been showing me that thankfulness, one of the things he's been showing me is that you and I will never have another moment in this year, 2020, to get on our knees and just thank God for who he is and all that he's done in our life. In the midst of chaos, we're in the eye of the storm. Woo! We will never have another moment this year to get on our knees and say, God, you're so good. To worship him, to praise him, to thank him for who he is and all that he's done. And he's been showing me, when we do that, thankfulness is actually an act of faith. Here's where we're going to land this morning. But we're not landing yet. Just stay put. Thankfulness is actually an act of faith. Because when we live with an attitude of gratitude, when we live with this heart of thankfulness under the Lord with everything, then what's always in front of us is this reminder of how faithful God is. Listen to me. Our thankfulness reminds us of God's faithfulness. Okay, so watch. This thankfulness partners with, man, God, it is actually an act of faith. It's this reminder that God always faithful. And if he was faithful then, he's going to continue to be faithful again. Thankfulness reminds us of his faithfulness, which leads us to this awareness that every good and perfect thing comes from the Father. So we know where to give glory where glory is due. It's this thankfulness reminds us of faithfulness, which means I'm aware that everything I have comes from you, God, and everything flows from your grace, your love, your favor, and your power to help me step into and accomplish things that I would never be able to within my own strength. So I'm always ready to give glory where glory is due, and then I'm content. So thankfulness reminds us of his faithfulness, which leads us to this conscious awareness, which allows you and I to be content. I didn't say complacent, but content. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, whether I have a little or have plenty, my contentment is in God. Why does he say that, y'all? Because Paul knows that God is the source of his provision, the source of his preservation, and the source of his protection. So Paul goes, whether I have a little or plenty, I know where my source is. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm content because I know there's always more where that came from. I know he's never going to run out. And I can anticipate and lean into him from a place of rest and watch things begin to take place in my life. All of Paul's eggs were in one basket, the basket of the Father. We put eggs in so many different baskets. If this isn't working out, man, we panic and worry. Right? If we have a season where things are lean and finances are tight, man, we get upset and start blaming God and each other and everything goes haywire. If we don't have a prayer that's not answered yet, man, we wonder where God is. And Paul's going, listen, whether you have plenty or little, man, don't you know your situations and circumstances may change, but he remains the same? Do you know where the source of everything comes from? Get on your knees and start thanking him for who he is. Woo! This message is thankfulness 2.0, where we go beyond just, God, thank you for my stuff. It's, God, thank you for who you are. Are you with me this morning? Thankfulness is an act of faith that actually partners with God to see the miraculous happen. That's where we're going to land this morning. I'll show you. It's neat. Thankfulness reminds us of his faithfulness, which allows us to embrace him in the moment and gives us the confidence we need to keep moving forward. Amen? Okay. We're going to land there. Let's do the sandwich. Let's do go in between. You ready? There's something I believe that is running rampant and fighting for our thankfulness, fighting for our attention, and ultimately fighting for our faith as believers. And I believe God wants to eradicate it this morning. It was a few weeks ago. It was the day after the election. It was a Wednesday. I walked down in my basement to get ready and prepare for the young adult gathering. This is a Wednesday. And so I walked down, and we're going through a curriculum series entitled The Goodness of God. And Bill Johnson is teaching it. And, y'all, it's so amazing. Y'all, listen, man, we got to believe that God is who he says he is. When the goodness of God becomes the cornerstone of our theology, when we believe that God is good and it becomes the foundation of our life, we start living, man. There's no problem that's too big when we believe that God is so good. That's simple, but I'm telling you, if we'll live by that, it's over. So I go down in my basement, and I open up my computer to watch the video because I take notes, because we watch it together as a group, and then we discuss it and challenge each other with it, and then we pray it. It's so fun. And I open up my computer to watch it, and the Holy Spirit stops me and says, Wes, this is not for tonight. And I said, sure thing, because I want to be obedient to the Spirit, and I know his voice. I know when he speaks. I said, absolutely. And I closed my computer, and he asked me a question. Let me preface this question. Earlier that day, I was on my phone. I was flipping through social media. It was the day after the election, and I saw so many things that just bothered me. One thing in particular, there were even believers that were posting selfies of themselves going, man, I'm so worried about who's going to be our next president. There was so much worry, so much anxiousness, so much fear being portrayed from even the body of Jesus Christ. I'm worried about what's going to happen next, what's going to happen now, what's going to happen next year. I'm so anxious about this, I'm anxious about that. I'm watching this whole election thing. I'm watching the blue states and the red states, and I'm so anxious. And I was just looking at it. I was going, man, this ain't right. This ain't right, man. I know who I want to be the president, and I believe who I think will be the president, but this worry and anxiety, this ain't right, man. So I go down in my basement, I close the computer, and the Holy Spirit goes, Wes, what if you spent the rest of your Christian life without worrying or anxious about anything for the rest of your life? And I said, that would be amazing. He said, that's available. He said, Jesus, this is what he said, Jesus paid a price so that the love of the Father could sweep you away and you never return. And he reminded me of that scripture, 1 John 4. Jesus paid a price so that his perfect love could cast out all fear, so that the Prince of Peace could come and live inside of us, would transcend all understanding, so that I would no longer be led by here, I'd be led by here where the Savior lives. This is what he told me. I said, oh man, this is just amazing. I began to pray into it. Listen, the world invites us and gives us permission to be worried and anxious about everything. If you're not worried or anxious about something, the world will find you something to be worried and anxious about. If you're not worried and anxious about something, whether it be a family member or a relationship or finances or this or that, man, if you're not worried about something, man, then you're weird. But I would actually say this is supposed to be the normal Christian life as sons and daughters living in the kingdom. I'm serious about this. You ready for anxiousness and worry that's driven by fear? The fear of man to be gone forever? Thankfulness is going to tie this all together, okay? See, the enemy wants us to live afraid. He wants us to be worried. He wants us to be anxious. If we're always afraid and fearful and worried and anxious, man, then I believe he could care less whether or not we're Christians. If he can get Christians to be worried, anxious, and fear, then we're crippled. We're paralyzed. We actually give him control. You only give the devil control to the degree in which you allow him to have it. When you're worried and anxious about things, it actually, man, it affects you on the inside. It affects your calling on the outside. It affects your heart. It affects your mind. It affects your calling. When you're worried and anxious and is driven by fear, man, your heart, you become closed up and closed off to even God and also to other people who are godly that want to speak into you. I don't know what that is, but when we become anxious and worried and fearful, man, we become closed up and closed off. And we choose a TV show over the Word of God to get our mind off of it. We choose social media to look at and just get our mind off of things. We actually, instead of turning to the Father who actually has the solution and wants to give us the Prince of Peace, instead of turning to godly counsel, we do anything and everything but, and we become more fearful. It's time you are to run with reckless abandon. Turn off the power. Turn off the internet. Get rid of my TV. It's time, man, for you and I to get serious about our relationship with the Father. We're in that season. Are you ready? I think you are. I'm just going to pour more fuel on your fire this morning. It affects your mind. If you're always worried and anxious, then when a problem, you're faced with a problem, you always assume the worst, don't you? And you fight your whole Christian life for peace when the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. If you're worried, anxious, and fearful, man, you miss out on your calling. Man, you'll never step out and become a vessel for God to use, so you'll miss out on your purpose for being alive. And your purpose for being alive is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I'm convinced, because I've experienced it, when you and I are living out the Great Commission, that's when we're most alive. Here's the antidote. You ready? I've already mentioned it. It's so simple. It's going to be so simple that you're going to be like, man, this can't be right. Wes has got to have like a 4-point. Have I ever had a 4-point anything? We have to believe that God is who he says he is. We have to start believing. Our young adult group has been going after this goodness. We got to start believing that God is good. That he is faithful, that he is the healer, that nothing is impossible. We got to stop talking about it. We got to start believing it, receiving it, speaking it, receiving it, walking it out, receiving it, living it out. Are you with me? God, when the goodness of God is the foundation of our life, when the goodness of God, when I believe that he is who says he is, and my situation's changed, but he remains the same, I'll never have to deal with worry and anxiousness again because I know who my Father is. In the same way, man, that fear and anxiousness and worry cripples you and it messes you up on the inside and outside, man, the goodness of God will mess you up on the inside and outside too, but in the most powerful way. When you believe that God is good, man, it affects, man, the way you think. It affects how you see. It affects how you respond on the inside. Let's start with the mind. When you believe that God is good and you're faced with a problem, our first thought is, man, this is not God's fault. If you believe that God is who he says is, your first, and I know this is not from God. And I know, man, that like the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. And I know, man, even though this is happening, God's going to have the final say so. Listen, here's my point, y'all. It's not God's fault. When you're faced with that crisis or that problem or that situation, if you think it's God's fault or you think that God caused it to happen, man, then you will begin to create a distrust between you and the Father. So that when the problem occurs, all of a sudden, man, instead of turning to him, you turn to something or someone else when he's actually the one with the solution to it. It ain't God's fault. Stop creating this distrust. Just get on your knees and begin to thank him. We're getting there. We're getting there. It affects the way that you see. If you believe that God is good, you don't see the problem. You see the promise. If you believe that God is good, you just see this is an opportunity for God to demonstrate his faithfulness. You see the victory that Jesus won. You're reminded, man, there's nothing I can be faced with that Jesus hasn't already won the victory over. Amen. It affects the way that you respond. Instead of reacting out of emotion, I respond out of the truth of God's word, and I lean into the Father and invite him in to my circumstance and situation to allow him to do what I can't do. Amen. That's good. Y'all, it's time for you and I to be free from fear, anxiousness, and worry. It's time to truly believe that God is who he says he is, that he's good. Here's our passage this morning. Oh, here's the other side of that sandwich. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. These scriptures, 4 through 7, these scriptures have been rocking my life recently. And I can't get over it. And you know, these are good just by themselves. Listen to this first one, Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. That's amazing. That's this one. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Well, that's a good word for right now. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Look, we should be gentle. We should be gentle. If there was ever an hour to be gentle with the way we handle things and with our words, now's the hour. Somewhere down along the line, and I think especially this year, we've tossed gentleness out the window. And Jeremy talks about this so profoundly. And I love the way he talks about this, but oftentimes we toss gentleness out the window because we have discovered our need to be right and our need to prove how wrong you are. Listen to me. Romans 2:4 says it's the loving goodness and kindness of God that leads people to repentance. I'm not saying we shouldn't share the truth. As a matter of fact, man, if you're not sharing the truth with someone, you're not really loving them very well. But the way that we share this truth should be from a place of loving goodness and kindness, gentleness, that actually loves and empowers people toward the heart of the Father. We got to sort of put aside, I need to be right and I need to prove that you're wrong. We toss gentleness out the window when in relationship the goal becomes like agreement. Listen, Danny Silk talks about this. It's so beautiful. Danny Silk says, the goal in a relationship is not agreement, it's understanding. So that I can come to the table and disagree with you. We can actually agree to disagree, but there's still understanding. Therefore, I love you and value you for who you are, and it creates room for the Spirit to actually bring the truth as opposed to your need to be right and your need to prove them wrong. Are you with me? I am not saying to not share the truth, and I'm not saying to not be bold. This is actually the season to be bold. The Bible says the righteous are bold as lions. But when the Lion of Judah roars, it's not to prove a point. It's to call people higher. And the only way you can call people higher is with the loving goodness and kindness of God. Are you with me this morning? Don't miss that. That's not my message. That's a bonus. I told you, a lot of this is just good by itself. Here we go. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. Watch. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Some of you, man, you might be hard-pressed to admit it this morning, but you're anxious about something. It's okay. We've all been there. I was there a couple weeks ago, and I hit my knee. I went down in my basement, hit my knees. I go, man, what am I doing? I have a Father that loves me. I have a Savior that died for me. I'm all about Him, and He's all about me. I got nothing to be worried or anxious about. All my eggs get to be in one basket. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, watch this, will guard your hearts and will guard your minds. Man, the only reason you have a body is so the Spirit could have a home. The only reason you have a mind is so you could have the mind of Christ. The only reason you have a heart is so it could be possessed by God and His love in such a way that you can't help but embrace it and give it away everywhere you go. I got time to do this. I feel like Paul, he's saying a lot there, but there's two specific things I want to pull out. And I feel like Paul's saying here with this whole thankfulness. Paul, stop being anxious and worried. You know who your Father is? Man, just get on your knees. Just with prayer, petition, just begin to thank God for who He is. And I feel like the first thing Paul's saying is just, like, begin to thank God and remember all that He's done in your life. Y'all, this is huge. Listen, let's do it. I dare you this week, man, when the world gives you something to be anxious about, just begin to thank God. And remember, God, I remember, man, just how faithful you are. And if you were faithful then, you'll continue to be faithful again because you don't change. God, I remember that time when I was sick and you healed me. God, I remember that time I went to the mailbox and I got a check, unexpected check, for the very amount that I needed that I didn't have. God, I remember that time you answered my prayer, that time you healed my friend. That time you restored this relationship. That time you brought me out of whatever the case may be. God, thank you for who you are and what that does. Man, it reminds you that he's going to continue to do it. See, every time God is faithful in your life, it gives you permission to never doubt his faithfulness again. The world gives you permission to continue being anxious and worried. And God says, I give you permission to never doubt my faithfulness again. And when we get on our knees and we begin to thank him for who he is and all that he's done, we begin to remember those things. All this happens. Here's what is an act of faith. What happens, man? Our faith begins to be built up. Come on, man. Listen, anytime there's breakthrough and answered prayer, God's faithful, that's the new standard that you live by. So that you don't take a step back, you keep going up. The Bible says we live from glory to glory, from faith to faith. It's the standard. Every breakthrough, every miracle, every sign, every wonder. Oh, that's the new standard. And then I believe that the next thing that Paul's saying is, now that you're thankful for all that he's done and who he is and you're reminded of his faithfulness, now begin to thank him for what he's going to do. This is thankfulness as an act of faith that partners with him, and it's impossible for nothing to happen. Are you with me this morning? Do you believe God's good? If you believe he's good and it becomes the foundation that you begin to live by, and the world invites you to be anxious and worried, just hit your knees and start thanking him. God, you're good. God, this ain't from you, so it ain't for me. You're going to have the final say-so in this. I see the victory, not the problem. I'm responding, not reacting, by praying and inviting him with thankfulness. He's faithful, man. He's so good. We got to stop being anxious and worried about things. It cripples us as believers. We got to stand on the promises of God's word. We got to stand on his goodness. We got to partner with him, man. We got to start roaring like the lions and lionesses that we are. Yo, it's time, man. Are you ready? Man, let's all stand up. Yo, here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to pray. I'm just going to pray, man. Whoever is in this room and you brought something. You know, it's funny because earlier today I felt like Jesus said, if you're tired and if you're weary, if you're worried and if you're anxious, you've come to the right place. And I'm not talking about Arise Birmingham. I'm talking about Jesus Christ is the place. He's ready to meet you where you are and eradicate that stuff, man. Replace your fear and anxiousness and worry with his peace, with the goodness of God. I feel he wants to establish a firm foundation. Even for some of you, maybe a new theology this morning of God's goodness. So I'm going to pray, and Jesus is going to touch you and establish this. And then you'll be available to go and get your children, come back in, hang out and worship. I'm going to stand up here. If you need prayer this morning for anything, if you need healing in your body, watch what Jesus is about to do. If you need salvation this morning, man, all you have to do is ask. He wants to get what he paid for in your life. Whatever you need, I'm going to stand up here and I'll pray for you all day long. It doesn't matter. I'm here for you. Jesus is even more here for you. Let's pray. God, you're so good. We love you so much, God. God, we're so thankful for who you are and all that you've done in our life. And God, we're so thankful that thankfulness gets to be an act of faith this morning. We get to partner with you to be reminded of how faithful you are, God. We get to embrace what you're doing right now in this moment. And we get to anticipate and expect more to come. So right now, in the name of Jesus, that problem, that situation, that relationship, that doctor's note, whatever the case may be, whatever anybody is anxious or worried about this morning, I pray that it be eradicated in the name of Jesus, and that your perfect love would sweep us away this morning and we would never return. That fear would be driven out in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you come and fill us up, overflowing with the love of the Father. And Jesus, I pray that your peace that surpasses understanding will begin to guard our hearts and our minds, and that this week would be a new week in Jesus' name, a week filled of peace, a week full of faithfulness, a week full of freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Whatever you need to do, worship, come forward and pray. Go get your children. I love you. God bless you. Run with Jesus.